Welcome to Knitting a Story, a podcast by two crazed knitters. I'm Jen.
And I'm Lex.
And welcome to our story pod, friends. This is episode 14, Dying for You.
On today's episode, we've got Off the Needles, Show Me Your Knits, When Good Knitting Goes Bad, Knitting in the Wild, Things Knitters Say, and Products We Love.
So, how is it going this week, Lex?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. The first thing we've got to talk about is Off the Needles, and that's you.
That's me.
That's not me.
Yep, so I think last week, maybe the week before, I was talking about that I had knit a baby sweater for my nephew, and he was born.
Yay!
And he was, I think, 7 pounds, 2 ounces, so a good size little guy. And I had knit him a baby cardigan, and so I finally got to take it and try it on him. She picked green buttons, which is so cool.
Awesome.
So it was cream baby cardigan, and she alternated like a light green, dark green, light green, dark green.
Awesome. And isn't that the one that you upcycled the yarn from?
Yes, I did.
And what was the yarn for that one?
It was a nylon, angora, and wool blend.
Oh, so he's like 7 pounds and he's got an angora sweater already?
Yes, he does. Oh.
You're spoiling him early.
Yeah. And so I made the 3 to 6 month size. Because traditionally, her other two kids were big babies, yeah, over 8 pounds kind of thing.
Always hedging your bets.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And so it's a little bit big on him, but it's perfect. You just roll the little cuffs, and he's so cute in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm so happy about it. And then it's funny, I was sitting around talking with my mom and my sister-in-law. My mom was saying that when I was a baby, somebody had given us a pink cardigan.
Yeah.
And she was like, but it was kind of like wavy, and it grew and grew and grew, and you kept getting bigger, but you never actually grew out of the sweater. I'm like, ribbing.
Yeah.
And she's like, it always just fit. And so I was thinking, should I make another sweater again? Then I think I'm gonna do ribbing. You know, it makes sense, because you could make a 3 to 6 month and it would fit a small baby or a big baby because of
that's
how the
true
ribbing grows.
That's
right?
True. I never thought about it, but that's very true.
Or even putting in ribbed panels under the arms or something, just to kind of...
Yeah, you just do like a stockinette or a cable or something, and then some little ribbing.
Yeah, just to make it...
Under the arms. That's a good
more
idea.
More versatile, right? And I was like, oh, that's sweet. And then I was like, oh, I should make Evelyn a sweater. That's my daughter. And I'm like, oh, I could do ribbing, like a little ribby cardi or whatever.
Oh, that'd
and
be super cute.
I'm sure I'd be able to find something on Ravelry for that.
Oh, for sure. Ravelry has everything.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's my Off the Needles. It's on the baby. It fits.
Yay!
She's knit-worthy. She's like, okay, how do I care for this? I'm like, I don't know if you want to throw it in the washing machine, because I'm not sure if it's going to felt or not.
Awesome.
Yeah, so happy.
All right, so now we're on to Show Me Your Knits.
So do you want to start for Show Me Your
Knits? Sure, I'll start out for this one. Why not? So I've got a plain sock going. It's out of Manos del Uruguay. And it's in the colorway Carnival, and it's, I guess the sock yarn brand is called Alegria, and it's like this crazy mushy-mishy color explosion. It's like an explosion of color.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It's got like hot pink.
Carnival!
Yeah, it is. It's got hot pink, you know, like vibrant purples. It's got some blue, it's got some peach, it's got some orange. Like, it's just like, I don't know, I think they just took everything they had left and kind of threw it at this yarn, but it's awesome.
It is awesome. Like, it's all my colors.
Yeah. You know? Oh, they're my colors, too, and this sock. It's great.
I don't think anybody could not like it, and it's that short runs of color.
Yeah, really short. It's not stripey or anything, so, I mean, it looks good on anyone, and it will go with anything in your wardrobe.
And how are you doing your sock?
I did 64 stitches cast on a 2.5 millimeter, because I'm a tight knitter. I did a little bit of ribbing, and then when I got tired of the ribbing and I thought it looked long enough, I just went to stockinette. That's how I'm making my socks.
Do you have any plans for your heel?
Nope.
No, just...
I don't know yet. Haven't gotten there yet.
Whoops, I turned heel.
Oops. What happened there? Oops. I don't know. I might try an afterthought heel. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't know. We'll see how I feel when I get there, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know the math off the top of my head, so I have to look it up somewhere.
For an afterthought, or just
for any
a heel flap?
Yeah. So okay. I'll have to look up the math afterwards. Whatever.
It's not too bad. That's the nice thing about socks, is you can just knit until you're like, oh, okay, let's do a heel.
Yep.
You know? It could be as long or as short as you need it, right? Whereas fitted garments, you kind of have to...
Yeah, you kind of have to
be paying attention.
Yeah. I'm also working on the Oceana tunic. I'm about two-thirds of the way done the back of that, and that's in Cascade Heritage Silk Sock Yarn.
So have you done the front of it yet, or is
yeah,
it just...
the front is done. Okay. So it's just got to do the back and then attach everything together and hopefully the best.
So kind of about 3/4 of the way done, you think, overall?
Yeah, probably.
Have you picked buttons for it yet?
No, but I was thinking, in that bag of buttons, there was a lot of, like, silvery or gold tone buttons, and I think that those would look good on the sapphire-y color, so we'll see if I have buttons from that bag that'll go.
Bag of buttons. That is so
strikes
sweet.
Again.
I've been thinking about that bag of buttons.
Let me tell you, like, that is awesome. It's like an afternoon of entertainment sorting through it.
The funny part is after the podcast last week, we sat around and we totally organized all the buttons.
We did, yep. Yeah, in my tackle box turned button organizer.
That is so sweet.
And what else am I working on? Oh, I've also started another shawl. And it's the Dragonfly Wings by Boo Knits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that in a silk fingering weight yarn.
100% silk?
100% silk.
Sweet. And what color are you doing it in?
Oh, how to describe this color? I think I've got a theme going on. It's sort of like a sapphire, but it's not as dark.
Okay.
It's like more of a royal? Dusty, bluey sapphire thing.
Yeah.
Happening.
And whose yarn are you using?
It's Yummy Yarn Studios.
Okay.
And I don't remember what it's called.
And any details about the pattern?
Sure. Yeah, it's... From what I can tell, it looks like it's a stockinette body with some garter ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the edging is this lace, and it when you block it out into points.
Okay.
And then it's sort of a... What's the word for it? Like a very large crescent with big wings.
Okay, so it's...
Like big ends, the way you like them.
It's... yeah, that's the way I like my shawls.
You know, it's a shallow... It looks... It's a shallow shawl.
And is it knitted? Is it knitted from the point up? Is it just the cast on three and then go?
Yeah, cast on three.
Sweet.
And then, you know, you knit, I don't know, 7 rows and you pick up the stitches. You're doing a garter tab is what you're doing. I'm really not a fan of garter tabs.
They're really hard to make look good.
Yeah, I always screw them up. I end up doing them like 3 or 4 times.
But yeah.
Whatever. That's what it calls for.
Sweet.
That's what I'm doing.
And how far along on that are you?
Oh, not far. I think I finished... Yeah, I haven't gotten too far. I think I've done... I haven't gotten to the first... No, I have gotten to the first garter ridge.
Okay, perfect.
So, not far. I didn't work on it very hard.
Do you know your needle size off the top of your head?
I want to say... It takes 3 needle sizes. So you start on a small one, then you go up and you go up. So I'm on a US 6 or 7,
okay.
I'm going to say.
Trying to make the conversion in my head.
Which is like a 4.4 millimeter or a 4.5.
Okay, sweet. So it's going to be nice and flowy then, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be nice in the... That's why I figured it'll be nice and drapey with the silk.
Ooh.
You know, it's not meant to be a really super tight pattern.
You
know, it can just sort of flow.
Flow with the wind. The Calgary wind.
Yes. So, yeah, hopefully that works.
Okay, well, I'm still working on my vanilla sock out of Fleecy Spooky. I am completely done first sock.
Yay!
Past the toe section on the second sock and just kind of working my way towards the insert for the afterthought heel.
Perfect. Are you doing it toe up or top down?
Toe up.
Toe up. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of are the same for me, like, whether I do them toe up or top down, but it's... Once you've done top down for a while, you're like, I need a change.
Yeah, hey, why not, right?
And there's... And I use Judy's magic cast on for the toe up. And
that's what I do, too.
Yeah, it's awesome. I recommend anybody to YouTube it. And there's some pretty good demonstrations. Some of them are better than others. Yeah, if you're going to do...
It's like anything on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Your usage,
some good videos.
You know, your mileage may vary, right? And so just kind of chugging along. That's my purse project, so I'm really enjoying it. I'm still working on Lefty by Martina Bem. That's out of the Knit Picks Chroma and Palette.
Perfect.
And it is awesome.
Yeah.
I love... It is so motivating because you're like, I'm just going to do one more and just see what the next color turns out like.
Yeah.
And you think it's going to be about the same because you're really not knitting that far when you do the color change for the little leaves. But then you get the leaf done and you go back and you change back to the gray and it's like, oh, it is different.
Yeah, it's just a slightly different tone,
it
eh?
It is. It is so much fun. And so I'm about, I guess I'm more than halfway through because I'm about to start out on my second my second 50 gram skein of the gray, and so it's not going to go as far because the repeats are so much longer. So
yeah, well, that's cool.
I'm liking the size. It is so beautiful. I cannot wait to wear this.
I cannot wait to see it in action.
I'm hoping the palette softens up a bit, though. It's a little scratchier than I had anticipated.
You throw it in with some conditioner.
That might be the thing, hey? I'm hoping that the chroma doesn't fuzz too much because it's just a single ply. Yeah. But, you know, it's just a scarf. It's not going to see a lot of wear and tear. I don't know if I would have done mittens or anything out of a single ply that loosely spun.
Right.
Because if it's fuzzing and that type of stuff, just from me knitting it.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine what it's going to look like if I did socks out of it or something like that.
Oh, you couldn't be, well, you could do socks. I shouldn't say you couldn't, but the socks wouldn't wear very well.
Yeah, you'd have to be really delicate with them.
Yeah. Baby socks, maybe.
Oh, baby socks. Or baby mittens.
Oh, baby mittens.
Or that little, the hat that you did.
The little aviatrix?
Yes.
You could do the poppy for your daughter.
Yeah, because I'm going to have a whole bunch of the chroma left over. Like, I'm talking a lot. So,
yeah.
That is so sweet.
I am an enabler. I am unashamed. Unashamed of this.
What kind of podcasters are we, though? If we just keep knitting with each other, we're like, I like that. I'm going to do that. Let's not talk about new stuff.
So, yeah, let's not talk about anything new. Let's just keep doing the same patterns.
Just because we like what the other person's doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess we already did that sort of with the Citron, didn't we?
Oops. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. And so, the Nanir. There's a pattern emerging.
There is.
We could change that.
So when good knitting goes bad, this is you.
Okay, so it hasn't really gone bad. It went bad, and then it came back, and it got good again. So this is the tale, the saga of my Central Park hoodie that I knit. And a quick recap for everyone, because we haven't talked about this in a long time. I knit it in white, undyed, just whatever, and it's cabled and it's got a hood, so I knit the whole thing. I sort of modified it as I went because that's the way I like to do it. And then at the end, my original idea was I'm going to gradient dye it with the help of our friend from Yummy Yarn Studios, but I was going to do it myself. I'm not crazy. I'm a little crazy. I'm not like full blown yet. So I was like, I'll gradient dye it, you know, and make it darker on the bottom and then wick the color up.
Okay.
And it'll get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter.
Yeah, the theory is sound.
The theory is sound. And it works for, like, if you're just doing a skein of yarn.
Okay.
If you're just doing a skein of yarn.
Ah, skein of yarn.
Ah, skein of yarn.
Not a sweater.
Not a sweater. Well, the problem is, so we tried this anyway. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, if any of the dye is undissolved in the pot on the side, and then your sweater touches it, it just sort of sucks it up, or whatever you're dyeing touches it. It doesn't have to be a sweater. It sort of sucks up the dye, and then you end up with a dark spot.
Oh.
So first we tried gradient dyeing it, but it was all lopsided.
What color did you choose?
Red.
Okay, sweet.
You know, I was like, might as well just go
it's
big.
It's a nice, safe primary color, right?
Go big or go home.
Yeah.
And so we dyed it, and it was sort of lopsided. So we're like, well, we could just over-dye the whole thing, and then the darker spot will still be darker, and then the part that hasn't been dyed yet will be lighter, right? And
yeah, even it all out, right?
Even it all out. Well, we tried that, but then the sweater touched the side of the pot, we think. And anyway, then there was like a dark spot on the back of my shoulder, and there were some darker splotches on my arms, and I was like, oh, I don't think this is going to work. So I took it home and I dried it. Because you never know what it's going to look like till it's dry, right?
And you try it on, right?
And you try it on. So I took it home, waited for it to dry, tried it on. It fit. That's the good news. The bad news is I turned around and got my husband to judge. And he's like, oh, there's like this dark splotch on your shoulder. He's like, the rest looks fine. He's like, that splotch looked like you backed into something greasy.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, that's not good.
No.
You know, like, I can hide the sleeves and whatever, right? And sleeves get dirty and whatever. But, the back of my shoulder blade?
And just the one side,
and
right?
And just the one side. So it obviously wasn't, like, on purpose.
Yeah.
So, back to the drawing board we went. And I took it back and to Sam. And she's like, okay, well, I'll just over-dye the whole thing. And at this point, now let me tell you, when we dyed the first time, like, we were throwing colors in there, like, we were like, so let's put some yellow, let's put some fire truck red, let's do some orange, let's do that, right? And the color was nice. I have no idea what we did now.
Totally unrepeatable, though.
Oh, completely unrepeatable. Yeah. I made a joke about that with her, actually. So she's like, okay, well, our choices now are pretty much black or really dark brown, like a dark espresso brown.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I leave it up to you, in your capable hands, you know more about this stuff than I do.
Let experts do what they do best, right?
Yeah, so I gave it to her, and I left it at her house. And then I picked it up when she was done dyeing it, and she had done it in a black.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened was it's a merino cashmere blend.
Okay.
Somehow. I can't remember the percentages, but I think the cashmere decided it was done with color.
Saturated.
It was saturated.
Yep.
So the merino, or whatever the regular wool is in that, it sucked up the, I think she did black.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucked up the black. So it's like this really now, it's like this dark cherry, like it's like black cherry.
That is so sweet.
Like when you look at the black cherry, it is like really, really dark. But then there's like some hints of red from the cashmere that show through.
Sweet.
So it's pretty, like, and you can't even tell that there used to be splotches because it's all black.
Now. Yeah, it's more consistent, right?
It's more consistent and it's darker. So it's, I really like it.
So you're calling it black cherry.
I'm calling it black cherry. And then I was like, this is a really nice colorway. You should repeat it and sell it. And she just sort of looked at me like she's going to kill me. Thankfully, she didn't. And now I can talk about it.
Considering the vast amount of dye you used to get that color.
Oh, I know. It was crazy. It was crazy, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just need some buttons.
I might know of a person that has acquired a bag of buttons.
I've looked through there and I don't know. I have to take the time, haul it all out, and grab some different buttons and sort of sit there. And if I don't have anything, I've been to stores looking for buttons for this thing. But do you think I ever bring the sweater with me?
No.
Oh, that sounds like it would make sense. Why would I do that? So I've got to bring the sweater with me and look for some buttons if I don't have any from my bag.
That's awesome. And it's such a time commitment. You really want to do it justice, right?
Yeah, like, I've done all of this to get the color. I am not just going to, like, slap on some buttons and say, you're done. It's going to be
good
the
enough.
Right, it's going to be the right buttons.
That is so awesome. So, you have some knitting in the wild.
Yeah, so it's not specific knitting in the wild. I've just noticed this week has gotten a lot cooler here in Calgary.
Yeah, it is full fall.
So, guess what's coming out of the woodwork? All the knits.
Sweet.
So, for example, this morning, driving my stepdaughter to school, and there's a lady walking down. I'm waiting to turn in rush hour traffic. And there's a lady walking down, and she had, like, this lacy orange hat on, too. Couldn't tell. I don't know. She was on the other side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't tell if it was hand-knit or...
Was it a beret style?
No, it was like
fisherman's cap or...
No, it was like a loose toque.
Sweet.
It was pretty cool looking, and I'm pretty sure it was warmer than nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have chosen lacy this morning because it's sort of windy where it was, but whatever, you know, to each their own. And it looked good. It was sort of an orangey red.
Ooh.
And I've seen a lot of knitted things coming out of the woodwork, like just at work and stuff, people coming in with toques and mittens and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's getting colder, chilly in the mornings.
That's kind of the funny thing with Calgary weather sometimes, you know, you have to have a little bit of everything. It can go from like -2 overnight. So you get up and run to work, you got your mittens and you got your toque, and then you get off work and it's like 15, 18
for
degrees.
Sure,
and you're
sure.
Like, okay, start peeling everything off.
I saw a picture on the internet about kids going to school, and it said there's two separate pictures, and the first one was titled On the Way to School, and it was just like the snowy landscape with these two bundled figures like bracing themselves against the wind into which they're walking, and then on the way home from school, and it's two figures, and it's like the desert because it's so hot.
That is so Calgary.
I'm like, yep, that's pretty much every day of the year here.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't
you never
like the weather, wait 20 minutes.
It'll change like crazy, so.
I love fall. It is probably my favorite season, just for the colors and the blustery days and the leaves falling and stuff. It's my favorite. So I'm so excited.
So it's knitting in the wild and it's just sort of everywhere right now.
Yeah.
Nothing specific, but keep wearing your knits and then I'll talk about you on the podcast.
Yes, we love it.
We love it.
So things knitters say.
Yeah.
We thought we would talk about how podcasting has affected the other areas of our life. And I guess I can start out. So my best friend was getting married this last weekend, and
yay.
And I thought to myself, wow, I talk, you know, roughly every week to 10 days on a podcast. I'm used to talking into a microphone. This is going to be no problem. The first couple episodes we talked,
yeah.
I was so nervous, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm a pro at this now. I'm going to get up and wing this toast.
I've done 13 episodes so far.
Yeah.
Psh, no problem.
Let me just tell you guys, the podcasting and being comfortable with a microphone does not transfer into being comfortable in front of, like, 200 people.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, it was the do a toast, try not to cry, because when I'm a crier, let's just be serious, I'm a crier, and then so I'm looking at my best friend and I'm doing a toast to the bride, and I'm talking about her, and I'm trying not to cry, and she's crying, and I'm just like, oh, I gotta stop.
Aww.
Yeah, so apparently being comfortable talking into a mic does not make you a comfortable public speaker.
Who knew? Who knew?
So what's your how podcasting has affected?
Well, so I was at knitting on Saturday, and I had told there's some new people that were there. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, do a podcast with Jen. She's not here, whatever.
Represent our geek cred.
Gotta represent the podcast. And they're like, oh yeah, that's cool. So I told them this the week previous. So I'm at knitting this Saturday. And one of the girls was having some problems or couldn't figure out something with knitting. And the leader of the group, if you can call her that, was sitting right in front of me. And usually, like, she's the one that I go to her with my knitting problems. I'm like, I don't know what I've done. Like, help, yeah. help, help. And I think everybody goes to her with our knitting problems. She's like our knitting
guru.
But no, so this time, this girl on the other end is having some problems figuring something out.
Mm-hmm.
So the other lady who found out that I did podcasting was like, oh, well, you should just ask Alexis over there. She's the expert. And I'm like,
oh, man.
I'm like, when did this happen?
They must not have ever actually listened to the podcast.
I know.
Because
I was like,
we are not experts.
I was like, it turns out it was a simple question.
Okay.
It wasn't hard. Like, you know, it was a gauge thing is what the problem was. But I'm just like, how did this become Go Ask Lex? Like, I don't,
yeah.
like, what's up with that? So, you know, I was like, how did I become the expert all of a sudden? I just talk about this stuff.
Not that we talk about it with any authority.
I don't know anything. Help. So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny that podcasting sort of confers this expertise onto you mm-hmm. in the eyes of people. So we're not experts, people. We're yeah. just regular people.
Yeah.
That talk into a microphone every week to 10 days, but don't give very good speeches. No. That's what we've learned today. That's what we've learned. But I'm happy to help if you ever have a question. I don't know if I'll be a help, but I'm happy to help.
Yeah.
So the other thing, this is not really about podcasting affecting the rest of our lives, but it affects our knitter lives.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was really cool. I looked on my friend's activity on Ravelry, and a couple of our listeners have friended me.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
So I friended them back. And I think it's really cool after we've posted the episode and I've done up the show notes and blah, 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 and then I'll look at my friend's activity and I'll see all these people faving different patterns. And it's not that everybody's faving every pattern that we talk about.
Yep.
But, you know, it'll be like, so-and-so faved this pattern. So-and-so faved that pattern. And I'm like, yeah!
Woohoo! I've had an effect on people.
Yeah, people are like, yeah, that's kind of cool. And they faved it. You know, I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to knit it or not. And
yeah.
You can knit what you want.
But mind you, at the same time, I think it's just being exposed to stuff that's not necessarily that you would have found on your own. Like, I do the same thing. I'll listen to other podcasts and then they'll be talking about it and I'm like, rifle right onto Ravelry to find out what it is. And
oh, what does it look like?
I know, right?
You know what I mean? Like, not everybody has the same taste. And
no.
That's good.
Except for apparently you and I like to knit the same things. We just take turns.
Yeah, let's just take turns doing this. Okay. But it's really neat to see that the stuff that we talk about, other people are, like, actually listening or at least reading the show notes.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
That's so cool.
And now, oh, products we love.
Yes.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this before.
It is a podcaster's dream, especially because there's two of us.
Yeah, especially a co-podcaster's dream.
So it is Google Drive. I think you have to have a Gmail email account to be able to use it.
Yeah.
But it is amazing because Lex and I, we share our Knitting a Story Gmail account. And we can, so you log into Gmail and at the top it has all the kind of like applications that you can use. And one of them is Drive. And it opens up kind of like a Word document that we can share. We can both have it open and be typing in it at the same time.
We've done that before.
And we've done it.
And it's a little creepy.
And it instantly updates it. It instantly saves. It works well through my, you know, my computer. It works well through my Apple products, either my phone or my iPad. And it is amazing.
It is. Like, I remember once I opened it up to add something to the notes so that, you know, we know what we're talking about sort of before we get going. And I'm just about to start typing, and then I see words going across the screen. And so I start typing, instead of whatever I was going to say, I start typing, "Hi, Jen. I can see you."
So it is amazing, and I think the applications, even more than podcasting, would be like professional applications. You could be working on a school report with somebody, and
for
you can
sure.
both be contributing at the same time, not, I'll type up my stuff, and I'll email you a copy, and you type this up and email me a copy.
Yeah, no, it's great, and you can, if you don't share an email account like we do, you can also send it. You could send the Google Drive thing, so I could send it from my Gmail account to Jen's Gmail account and just share it with her, and then she could... It would show up in her drive, and then we could both share.
So pass it back and forth as opposed to...
Yeah.
But if, yeah, you could create a dummy account, you know, like you're even just a dummy school account.
Yeah, why not, right? Like school@gmail.com.
Yeah, right.
And then for every group project you have, you just give the people the password.
And you work together.
Yeah.
It's
brilliant, really.
And it instantly saves. So it's not like you're working for 20 minutes, you get distracted, and you forget to save it and it's gone, right?
Oh
God.
Oops.
Oops.
So, yeah, it's great. I can't even believe we haven't talked about this before.
I know. So, you know, if you even if you have a Gmail account, go in and check out some of the applications on it.
I think the first episode we did, we didn't do that. And we sort of met beforehand and talked about what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then you had made all the Gmail account stuff. And I was like, why don't we just use Drive? Like, this looks like it'll just be a little easier.
It is amazing.
It's great.
And so we totally
and you can
thumbs
just log
up
in,
from us.
Log in at home and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. So we also wanted to mention that in about 2 weeks from now, I think it's about the 27th of October, is Knit City in Vancouver, if anybody's in the Lower Mainland. That's in the province of British Columbia.
Beautiful British Columbia.
Yes. I was there this weekend. It's so beautiful.
So yeah, you should go to Knit City because you can.
Yeah.
Why not?
Unfortunately, you know, Lex and I are pretty busy. We won't be there this year. We were hoping to go, but...
Yeah, school, midterms.
Yeah.
Just not gonna go well.
Yeah.
It's bad timing.
But it's so wonderful.
For us.
I love to see more Canadian, you know,
events.
You know, like I know there's definitely a lot more on the East Coast, you
for
know,
sure.
But West Coast, there's not really a lot. I know that, I think there's one in the spring that's a more of a fiber festival.
Okay.
And then, obviously, now Knit City in the fall, which I think is, you know, more courses and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we have Olds.
For sure, yeah, we have
in the
Olds.
Town of Olds. In the province of Alberta.
In Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
At Old College, in the town of Olds. If you don't get the joke, you should listen to episode 3.
We've got to repost.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to repost episode 3 before you can listen to it. So never mind.
So if you see episode 3 or you've heard it, you'll get the joke.
Yeah. I think that's just about sums it up for us.
Yeah, so that's
this week,
episode 14, Dying for You. You can join us at our blog, which is knittingastory.wordpress.com.
Facebook, Knitting a Never-Ending Story. Come like us.
Yeah, and on Ravelry, we're Knitting a Story podcast, and I'm Jen's account, JennsAccount.
And I'm Beloved of Bast, BELOVEDOFB. B-A-S-T. And if you can't remember that, just go to the Knitting a Story podcast group.
We're moderators.
And I'm a moderator.
Sweet. And friend us so friend that we us. Can see your good stuff pop up in our friends list.
And we can see what you're liking that we're talking about.
Okay, give a very quick explanation as to what Beloved of Bast is for.
Oh, it's an online handle I've used for years. Bast is the Egyptian cat goddess of hearth and home, but her alter ego mm-hmm. is also the goddess of war. So
oh, sweet.
Make of that what you will.
So you like to be at home and you're a domestic goddess, but you're also going to kick some butt.
I'll kick some butt. I'm not a domestic goddess, though. Not really. I just like to be at home. I'm a homebody, but I'm not a domestic goddess.
Apparently a knitting expert, though.
I'm a knitting expert, just not a domestic goddess.
All right, we will talk to you guys soon.
Have a great week.